Okay, we're recording. Okay, so we're on Kuf Mem Gimel today, 143a, six lines from the top. Everybody all set? So Matnit in the Mishnah says, Beit Shammai Amrim, Aviron Mi'al HaShulchan Atzmodu Klipin. This is a muksa issue. It's like muksa has sort of been like the thread flowing in and out of the Gemaras. We had, I think, one sugya like around Lamatet, and then another sugya earlier with and now we have sugya now. So this is Beit Shammai says, on Shabbos, I can remove from the table bones and klipin or peels. So Rashi learns that the bones and the klipin are not even fit for a dog. So it's like definitely muksa. Tosfos doesn't agree with that. Tosfos says that everybody would agree that that's muksa. So he says they are fit for the dogs. So we'll see in a minute. So b'shamar rimavrim el shulchan atzmodu klipin. And we think the way it's coming out, and the Gemara is going to flip it over, that, remember, we had a machlok between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. Reb Shimon lately muksa. Reb Shimon has a narrower view of muksa, and Reb Yehuda has a more expansive view. So we think that Beit Shammai is following the more lenient view on this. So Beit Hillel Omrim, Beit Hillel says, Mesalek et atav l'kulo mena'aro, that you take off the table board. So either there's machlokin among the Mepharshim how this worked. Either there's a board on top of the table, and then I'll tip over the board and everything comes out, or there's a board underneath the table, which is the way the Rambam learns it. But the way the Arsul said, like for us, it would be like the tablecloth. So you take the tablecloth and shake it out. That would be that without directly touching the muksa. It'll be like, tiltul min atzad. He says, then the Mishnah says, Ma'avirin, we have milfnei shulchan, but a number, the Bach has me'al shulchan, Ma'avirin me'al shulchan, peirurin pachot mikizayet. One can remove from the table crumbs that are less than a shear of a kizayit, so it's still fit for animals. So it was a figure that humans wouldn't bother with small crumbs, but animals would. And also a pea pod and the pod for lentils, neshu ma'achal behema. So this is a little tricky. Here, the issue is like this, that in other words, I have the pea pod. So going in, apparently they're eating the peas raw. That's the only thing I can assume. Maybe they cooked it before Shabbos, and that's the way it's going. But before Shabbos, the pea pod is ma'achal adam. It's designated as ma'achal adam. Now, once I eat the peas, and I only have the pod, so the pod is ma'achal behema, but it was designated as ma'achal Adam going into Shabbos. So this new status is considered to be nolad. So here, the Tan of the Mishnah says that that one could remove, well, we'll see this, the Gemara will discuss it, okay? So that one can remove the pea pod and the pod for the lentils, meishu ma'achal behema. In other words, this Tana doesn't hold from nolad. This would be Reb Shimon, basically. So according to Reb Shimon, I could take it now it became animal food, and I could do it because he doesn't hold from nolad. Then svog im yeshla or bedachiza mekanchim bo vimlavi mekanchim bo, a sponge, and the Gemara has a leather handle to it. So the Gemara takes it that it's got a leather handle, like I won't do schita with the sponge. So again, schita, squeezing things out, that could be either a tolda of malabain or it could be a tolda of dash, of mfarek. But I'm not allowed to schita, but apparently with a leather handle, and it was the squeezing the Gemara takes it would be because the fingers are squeezing the sponge. So if I have the leather handle, the Gemara figures like, I don't know, won't squeeze. So he says, v'lavei mekankambo. Otherwise, no handle, we can't clean with it. He says, now, there's a question whether the words v'chachamim omrim belong in here or not. Rashi and Tosos take it out. The Rambam has it in. V'chachamim omrim, v'enkach u'v'enkach nital b'shabbat. The Chachamim say that whether it has a leather handle or not, it could be moved, means if it's dry. If it's dry, it could be moved, meaning it has a din of a kli. So it's din of kli, it's not muksa if it's dry. He says here, v'eino mekabel tuma, but it's not susceptible to tuma. So again, the dinim, what constitutes a kli legabe tuma, is different than the dinim for Shabbos. So legabe Shabbos, it's a kli. Legabe tuma, it's not a kli because it doesn't fit into any of the categories in the pasuk. And Rashi, does Rashi quote? Yeah, he says, lo kli eitz, v'lo beged, v'lo sak, v'lo matechet. It's not, we call kli beged, or osak, or metal. It's not any of those. Okay, any questions on anything we did in the Mishnah? Everybody good? Okay, I'm moving on. Okay,
I'm sorry, what is the Eino Mekabel Tuma? I know that plays a critical role in whether it's a keli or not.
Right. He's saying, in other words, the Tana is contrasting the dinim of Shabbos to the dinim of Tuma. And the Tana is saying that legabi dine Shabbos, we consider this object to be a kli. Since it's a kli, it's not muksa. Kli is not muksa on Shabbos. But Lagabi Dine Tuma, we consider it not to be a kli
isn't that odd? When on Shabbos we Dafka used from Kalim the fact that there was a machlokas there, and the fact that it was a keli fell in line with how we say that it's not mukzah about that form, the shoe form.
Yeah, that's true. But the I think it could be probative, but not determinative. That's what I would say. In other words,
like a lawyer.
What can I tell you? All right, that's the way it goes. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Now the Gemara says, "I'm Rav Nachman." So again, focusing back on the first halacha in the Mishnah, which is again about moving the bones and the peels from the table on Shabbos. So I'm Rav Nachman, Anuin Lanal Beit Shammai K'Rabbi Yehuda, Beit Hillel K'Rabbi Shimon. Rav Nachman says our Masorah is that the Shitot are not the way they were presented in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, Beit Shammai had the more lenient opinion that you could remove like the bones and the peels. And Beit Hillel, according to the Mishnah, said you take the table board and you'll shake it and then things will come out, like Tiltul Menatzad. He says, no, it's the other way around. It was the Shitot are reversed, and Beit Hillel has the more lenient Shita, and Beit Shammai has more chamer shita. Beit Hillel has more lenient shita because they hold like Reb Shimon, and Beit Shammai holds like Reb Yehuda. So, you know, it's something I don't know if people are always so attuned to. There are a lot of muksa items on every kitchen table, just like to mention a few, like let's say, like eggshells would be muksa, a banana peel would be muksa. You know, so the best way is if you're, you know, taking eggshell off or banana peel off to do it over the garbage, and then it flops right into the garbage. That would be the best way to handle it on Shabbos, so you don't have, you know, all these muksa issues. All right, let's see back further in the Gemara. So, ma'avirin milifnei shulchan or me'al shulchan peruin, we can take the crumbs off the table. So the Gemara says, Masayle the Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, our Mishnah, incidentally, seems to support the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. He's the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, peruin she'im ben kesayin asur la'abdan biyad. Rabbi Yochanan says, if I have small pieces of bread, notwithstanding that they're small pieces, I can't destroy them, you know, directly. So our Mishnah doesn't say, Zorkin otan, I'm going to throw it in the garbage. It says ma'avirin otan, is that we take it off and with intent to give it to the animals. So just as it's not fit for humans, so if you can make good use of it, that's the way we want to go with this. All right. Se'ar shalafunim. Now, this again with the pea pods. Remember, we said the pea pod is nolad on Shabbos, because going into Shabbos, the pea and the pea pod was identified as ma'achal adam. Then once I eat the peas, so now the pod is only fit for animals. So now it's in new status, so it has din and nolad. So nolad is muksa. But notwithstanding that, the Mishnah says that I can move it and give it to the animal. So se'er shalafunin mani Reb Shimon he's lately muksa. So the Gemara says, so who does this follow? It follows the Tana Reb Shimon. He doesn't hold from muksa, meaning he doesn't hold from nolad on Shabbos, and that's so our Mishnah is following him. So the Gemara says, Ema Seifa. Let's do the next line in the Mishnah. Let's see if it all fits in. Svog yishlo beit achiza mekanchin bo v'mlavi mekanchin bo. So if a sponge has like this leather handle, I can clean with it. Otherwise, I can't clean with it. So the Gemara takes it that it's a dabar she'en mitkavin. The Gemara assumes that squeezing the sponge, skip out with the leather handle. Let's say it has no leather handle. So according to the Tana Mishnah, I can't use the sponge because I may squeeze it. So may squeezing is davar shein mitkaving. That's subject to machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. He says, Atan lo Rabbi Yehuda damar davar shein mitkaving asur. So here, one line of the Mishnah telling me goes like Rabbi Shimon. And the next line seems like it's going like Rabbi Yehuda because he's the one who holds that davar shein mitkaving is asur. Remember we had, I know Fern knows this, right? And we had in the earlier in the Masechta about Rabbi Shimon, Gorer adam mita kisei v'safsal. A person could drag, a bed, a chair, and a bench, because davar shein mitkavein. So the Gemara says, "Baha filu Reb Shimon moda." So the Gemara says, "No, this halacha with the sponge, even Reb Shimon agrees that you can't use the sponge." He says, "Da Abayi v'Rava da Amri Tarvayu," because Abayi and Rava both say, "Moda Reb Shimon psik reisha lo yamud," that it's not really davar shein mitkavein; it's psik reisha. It's definite. You'll squeeze the sponge. If it's a wet sponge, you're going to squeeze the sponge. Schitz is definitely going to occur. Even Reb Shimon would agree that the malacha would occur and that you can't use it. All right? All right. Now,
isn't that usually a psik resha, at least from what I observed, maybe I'm wrong, is that when you do something, something else will happen. Here it's saying when you do something, you will do something. In other words, it becomes an action on the gavra, well, not the chepza.
Well, all right. In other words, I'm going to use the sponge.
Right.
And the question is water going to get squeezed out of the sponge?
It's really, am I going to squeeze the water out of the sponge? Because if I'm not...
In the course of using the sponge, will I be squeezing water out of the sponge? So he's saying that definitely you will be squeezing water out of the sponge. In other words, the idea is... I have the sponge.
Well, not as a separate action.
I'm pressing the sponge. Is water going to get squeezed out of it? Yeah, it's going to get squeezed out of it. Okay, let's see further. Now, the Gemara says, "Hani garinim ditmari armiyata sharla taltalinu hol v'chazin agav iman." Now, these are the date pits, Aramean date pits. So apparently, I'm not so attuned to dates, but there are a lot of different variety of dates. You know, I've mentioned this in the past, in Eretz Yisrael, like the date trees in Eretz Yisrael today are not the original date trees that were there in ancient times. And the dates in Eretz Yisrael were delicious dates, and you see in the coins, they have a date tree. So the date trees in Eretz Yisrael were transplanted trees from Iraq. They got the Iraqi date trees, replanted it there. And they did at Masada, they did find some pits from that period of time. I think they tried to replant one of them, but you need a male and a female date tree to make a go of it. I'm not an expert on date trees, but anyway, there are a lot of different varieties of date trees. So the Gemara is saying here that the Aramean dates, those are like, let's say, the grade C dates. Those are for animals. In other words, I don't give those dates to the humans. Those are the animal feed. So it says, "Hani garinim tzmari armiyata." So the date pits, sharu l'taltalinu. So even though I only have the pits now, I can move those pits. He says, "Hoil v'chazian agaviman." Going into Shabbos, they were already designated as animal food. So I don't know if the animals ate the dates or the humans ate the dates, but the dates got eaten, and now I only have the pits. So so they still have retained their status as animal food. In other words, the animals eat the pits as well. So it's not muksa. Udparsiata, the Persian pits, and again, Persia always comes in here. Udparsiata asur, the Persian pits, that's human food. So now I have the human food, and now the pit is nolad, so I can't move that pit. That's similar to the case we had in the Mishnah, right? So if I hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then it's nolad. Now, Shmuel metaltel hu agav rifta. Shmuel would move the pits agav rifta. In other words, he would take a piece of bread, and the pits would be on the bread, and he would move the pits together with the bread. Now some say that really Shmuel really held like Reb Shimon that it wasn't Bechlal Muksa, and he was just doing this as a chumra, you know, for the other tzad, but really he held like Reb Shimon that it wasn't Muksa. Now we have Sharnam Shapaz Siman. Those letters are the Simanim for the Chachamim that were quoted. So Shmuel was the Shin. We quoted him already. Shmuel Ta'ame. So I don't know why the Siman is here like in the middle of like the phrase. You expect the Siman to be like a line earlier, but he says, Shmuel Tame Damar Shmuel Osedam Kol Tzorko Bepat. Shmuel follows the Shita. He says a person can use bread for whatever his needs are. So now here he's using the bread as like a plate to carry the pits, but he's doing it that way. Now we have Rava, but it should be Rava on the side. Rava Metalfelhu Agav Lachna Dabaya. Rava would transport the pits in a pail of water. So he'd have the pail, and then he'd throw the pits in the pail and the water in the pail, and then he'd move the whole pail, and that's the way Rava would use it. Rav Huna raised Rav Yeshua, Avid Luhu Graf Shel Rei. Rav Huna Rav Yeshua would treat the pits like a Graf Shel Rei. Graf Shel Rei is like a chamber pot. So there's a special heter. I'm allowed to take the chamber pot out of the house on Shabbos and get it out of it because it's so disgusting. So he would let the pits pile up. Then it was disgusting. Then he would move the pits. Amar Leah Rav Ashi La Meimar. So Rav Ashi to Meimar, L'chiosin Graf Shel Rei L'chachila. Are you allowed to create a Graf Shel Rei L'chachila? Graf Shel Rei is like, you know, you can't help yourself, so now it's here. Now he's creating, you know, he's letting the pits, and they're hanging out there, and then they become disgusting. Rav Sheshet Zarek Luhu Belishnei. Rav Sheshet would throw them with his tongue. In other words, the idea is the pits are muksa. That's the basic idea. And now you got to get rid of them. He says, Rav Papa Zarek Luhu Achori Hamita. Rav Papa would throw them, but throw them also, I think, with his tongue. Let me see, what does he say here? Rav Papa. Yeah, so the couch is the couch for the, not the sleeping couch. It's the couch where they're reclining for the meal. So Rapapa Zarek Lua Chori Amita. So Amru Alav Rabbi Zchari Ben Avkuli Shia Machzir Panav Chori Amita Bzorkan. So they say concerning Zchari Ben Avkuli, he would like turn his face away and apparently spit them out. Now it's interesting, Rabbi Zchari, who knows, where does this Rabbi Zchari Ben Avkuli come up? Yeah, what do you got? Who knows? You know, friend Livia? You know, Michael? All right, let me hear Livia first. What do you got?
It's a the rabbi who decided that we had to refuse the sacrifice.
Okay, you got it. You got it. Yashkoch, you got it. You said it. I got the address. And that was what you were going to say also, Michael, right? Is that what you are going to say, Michael?
Getting on Tess.
Yeah, well,
maybe
don't
the think, next page.
Yeah, I think it's Nun Zion, but you got it close. Anyway, but they're both right. So remember, the Gemara says that like with Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, so he contrives that they have this animal with a mum, and he ends up propounding all these arguments that we can't offer the korban. And so the Gemara says in Vitanatosha Bscharia Benav Kulis Hechriva Beitenu Safarna Hechalenu Biglitanu Miartzenu. So there's a whole shtickle Torah on it. But the part that like strikes me is like a number of the Mefarshim say that he was the Gadol Ador, but to the best of my knowledge, this is the only other place in Shas where I remember him being quoted. This is the only other place with the pits. And it just seems a little odd that he was the Gadol Ador, that he's not quoted in more places in Shas. But that's the piece. Okay, now let me just so who's got questions on anything we did? Yosef, you doing good, Yosef? Thumbs up? All right, I want you to be happy. All right, happy people, good. All right, everybody good? All right, let's keep moving. Now, by the way, Arsium, everybody with me? Arsium is 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today is the Siyam Shechet Shabbos. We have to figure out how or what we want to do. I guess we did Zooming everything. We could do the Zooming the Siyam. But there are some other possibilities, you know. I don't know, it's a little tricky with food, though. But, you know, there are some possibilities. Or, you know, maybe we can meet at the shul before Minyan and have the Siyam right before Mincha Maariv that evening. That might be a nice idea. That might be a nice idea, but I need
outside.
Some... Outside. I keep everything healthy for you, Fern. Outside. No sukkah, just outside. So that would be a nice occasion where we can maybe all get together and see one another. And then maybe other people from the shul might join us also would be nice. So that we might want to...
Food will come.
Yeah, I don't know about the food part. I don't know about the food because food we have...
And they ain't coming.
Well, they're coming from Mincha Maariv, so they're coming. Okay. Hadron Lach Notel Dam Beno. Yashkoach, you all finished another parak in Masechet Shabbos. Now we're up to the 22nd parak, and there's only 24 prakim. So only 24 prakim and only 14 days to go. So only 3 more prakim and only 14 days to go. So these prakim are not so long. Okay, let's take a look again in the next new parak. On the top line on Kuf Mem Gimel Mud Beis. So Chavitch Nishbara, a barrel that broke apparently on Shabbos, like a big barrel with wine, and wine is an expensive commodity, and now the wine is all leaking out. So a person can save up to 3 meals worth of wine. It was the amount of wine you would save at the 3 meals. So remember, this is similar to the halakha that we had earlier in Kol Kitveh with the fire breaking out on Shabbos. So if you remember over there, we said that a person could only save enough food for 3 meals. Because we remember Rabbi said that a person is so bahul, he's so for tumult al mamono, he's so concerned with his money, that ati lechabuye, if we tell him that he can take different kalim, he'll get all involved with it and he'll come out to put out the fire. In other words, like, my main task is to save my money, and then he'll end up putting out the fire, even though he's Shomer Shabbos person. So here we don't have a fire, but we have sort of legal equivalent of a fire. The fire is destroying it. Here we have like the leak, it's all leaking out. So it's not getting destroyed by fire. It's getting destroyed by leaking out. So the Gemara is concerned that if we let him take as many kalim as he needs to, either A, he may come to carry the kalim on Shabbos, or there's another concern that he could have also. What did Rashi say here? Wait a second. Yeah. Or he might repair the cask. He might repair the chabit. So either way, in other words, once we open up the floodgates, you could save everything. He starts thinking, I got to save, got to save, got to save. And he does whatever he needs to save it, not just getting kalim. He'll either carry the kalim or he'll fix the keli. In either case, he's going to do malach on Shabbos. So chavit shnishbara matzilini menem azon shlosh sudot. So if a chavit breaks on Shabbos, he can save up to 3 meals worth of wine. V'omer lachem bo'ba tzilachem. You can tell other people, hey, everybody, my wine is leaking out. Go and save for yourself. Uvad shlo yispog. but provided he doesn't like sponge it up. In other words, he could be tempted to put a sponge where it's all leaking out, and the sponge will absorb the wine. But we're concerned then he'll come to squeeze the sponge, you know, and do schit on Shabbos. And then that's going to be a problem. And if you look at Rashi, the second arrow line, Davale Mefarek told the Disha. In other words, Mefarek, what is the Bach saying? One second. Yeah, Mefarek to who told the Disha? So he's saying like schita would be like Mefarek. Mefarek is extracting, like you're extracting milk from a cow. That's Mefarek. So here also with the, you know, the liquid that's in the sponge would be Mefarek. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ve'in sochtin ha'peiro lo tzimehen mashkin. This is a different halacha. On Shabbos, I can't squeeze fruit to get the mashkim out. Again, schita, Mefarek. He says, Ve'im yatsu me'atzman asurin. If on their own they came out, in other words, the juice is just oozed out of the fruits on Shabbos, so I'm not allowed to drink that juice because there's a concern that I may come, if I could drink it, then there's a concern I may come to squeeze the fruit to get more juice. And so since it's not allowed, so... So that's it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im la'ochlin ayotzim ehen mutar, v'im la'mashkin ayotzim ehen asur. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, now it sounds like Lechora, when we read the Mishnah, it sounds like the Chachamim have a blanket prohibition against drinking the juice that came from the fruit. And Rabbi Yehuda says it depends why the fruit was stored. If the fruit was like eating fruit, so I'm not afraid he's going to squeeze it. In other words, he's using it. He doesn't have the fruit for juicing fruits. He's got the fruit for eating fruits. So the juice came out of the eating fruits. I'm not thinking in terms of juicing them. So I won't come to squeeze it. But if the fruit were there for juicing fruits, you know, let's say I have oranges. So I have oranges to eat, oranges to squeeze. So if the oranges are just there to eat, then he holds I could have the orange juice that oozed out of it. But if the oranges, I'm going to squeeze the oranges, and now some oozed out, so I may come to squeeze the oranges because they're squeezing fruit. He says, now, this is a different halacha. I have the honeycomb with the bees, and I broke some of the honeycombs intentionally before Shabbos, and now the honey is like oozing out of the honeycombs. Honey is oozing out of the honeycombs. So Asurin, we have Reb Lezer, but it should be Reb Lazar Matir. Reb Lazar's Matir. So Reb Lazar's Matir, because... he holds that there's nothing to squeeze with this. In other words, once it oozes out, so the thing is broken already. So there's nothing more to squeeze with this thing. So there's no malachi he's going to do. But the Chachamim, they asur it because they're afraid I may come to break another different honeycomb that hasn't been broken, and then that would be prohibited on Shabbos. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, let's keep moving. Okay, now, in the first line in the Gemara, so the Gemara says, Tana... Now we're going back to the sfog, the sponge. You know, it's interesting in a way. You see how little things have changed over the time. They use sponge, we use a sponge. You know, even though we're in the 21st century, it's fundamentally it's not so much different. I mean, we got fancier sponges, but they're doing the same thing. So he says, Tana lo yispog biayin, a person shouldn't put the sponge up the wine because he may come to squeeze the sponge. Velo yitapeach b'shemen. He shouldn't scoop up oil. Oil was a big commodity in the ancient world. Oil was used for cleaning. Oil was food. It was a big, big item. So if I have the oil spills on Shabbos and I want to scoop up the oil because I don't want it to go to waste, so I'm not allowed to do that. In other words, I would scoop up the oil with my hand, then bring my hand to this, you know, this pot, like this amphora, and then scrape it off the opening of the amphora, and then the oil would be in there. So I'm not allowed to do that. That's an uvda dechol, a weekday activity, which the Chachamim prohibited. Tana Rabbanan, it pazru lo peirot b'chatzer. Let's say some of my fruit fell into the chatzer. He says, malaked al yad al yad, I can collect them one at a time, v'ochel, and eat them as I collect them. Avolo b'toch hasal, v'lo b'toch hakupa, but I shouldn't put them all in a basket or in a box. Shlo yasek there shos sabachol. I shouldn't do, that's again like a weekday activity. Looks similar to like the work I do during the week, gathering the fruit and things like that. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Yeah, what's up for Malta? Let me hear. Wait, I can't, Malka, I cannot hear you well, Malka. You got to do something with the audio. It's not coming out too clearly. All right, do the best you can. Lori, I'll try, but the sound is really weak. Go ahead.
Is this better?
No, it's not working out, but go ahead.
Okay. looked like we were collecting that we weren't actually allowed to.
I couldn't hear everything, but is this explaining this Gemara you're talking about? That in other words, it would, here the Gemara is saying that if I collect the fruit and put it into a basket, it looks like my regular weekday workday activities. So Chazal wanted to prohibit uvda d'chol. Uvda d'chol, it's a term of art. In other words, a weekday-like activity, they asked. So gathering fruit into a basket, they felt as a weekday type of activity, so they prohibited it. Is that helping anyway?
So the follow-up question to that is, you have the 39 melachot, and then you have this uvda d'chol.
Right.
This is not the first time it's come up.
It is or is not?
It is not.
It's not, right.
Right, but so how do you use that term of art? In other words, how do you apply it?
Well, here we're applying it with the fruit.
I understand.
But the chachamim apply it in different situations. It's very tricky what the rules of the road are with uvda d'chol.
Right, that's what I'm asking.
We
learned dafyomi during the week. Obviously, learning it on Shabbos is a good thing.
I think a number of poskim, for example, among other things, you know, riding a bicycle on Shabbos. So Ashkenazi poskim say not to do it. I think many Sephardi poskim say not to do it. There's a shita from the Ben Ish Chai that you could do it. I think the heter is more for the Syrian community, as far as I'm aware. Though I have seen, you know,
I see it on Shabbos all the time.
Yeah, I don't even know if the Sephardic rabbis are so thrilled with it. I don't know. I can't speak to it. But I think as far as I'm aware, the heter is more for the Syrian community. With the Ben Ish Chai, I remember Rav Menashe saying, I was speaking about it once in shul, and he said you'd see me riding the bicycle on Shabbos. Anyway, but among the reasons why people, I believe, aser riding a bicycle, one issue is that the bicycle might break, come to repair it, but another issue is uvda d'chol, it's a weekday d'chol. But the point is that it's a tricky issue to define.
It's like a masora when it's used.
Well, we have the areas where the Gemara uses it, but then in the other areas is trickier. Let me keep moving. Okay,
now, like a TV with a time clock on Shabbos. That's uvda d'chol, right?
So that might, I'm not sure if that's an uvda d'chol or something else. Okay, let's take a look. Okay, now let me go further in the Gemara. Let's go 10 lines down. Okay, Ein sochtin in a peirot. So we said we can't squeeze the fruit on Shabbos. So I'm Rabbi Yudamar Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda, so again, the Chachamim say across the board, I can't take the juice that oozed out of the fruit. Never mind, everybody agrees I can't squeeze the fruit, but the juice that oozed out of the fruit. So the Chachamim say, we think that absolutely prohibited. And Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends on what the fruit we're gathered for. If the fruit we're eating fruit, so then you're okay, I'm not going to come squeeze it. But if it's juicing fruit, not. So now, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Marshmul, Morei Rabbi Yehuda L'chamim b'zeitim v'anavim. Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Chachamim when it comes to zeitim and anavim, olives and grapes. He said, and those are the big items that they had, olive oil and grape juice wine. He says, my time, came l'schita ninu, since, like, typically, the typical usage for them is for schita, is to squeeze them out. Yaiv Daite, he'll change his mind when he's there. So in other words, he could have had, let's say, the grapes or the oil or the olives. He intends to use it as eating fruit. Now it oozes out oil or oozes out grape juice. He says, you know what? So it's oozing out. I'm going to go for it because that's the typical usage for it. So here, so according to Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim with Zaitim and Anavim. Now we have a lot of different opinions about this. V'ula amar Rav chaluka ya Rabbi Yehuda ap zeitim anavim. Ula says in Rav that Rabbi Yehuda was mechulak even by zeitim and anavim, so no difference there. Rabbi Yochanan amar halachik Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peirot v'ein halachik Rabbi Yehuda b'zeitim v'anavim. Now Rabbi Yochanan apparently does not agree with Shmuel. Shmuel said that they had agreement about zeitim and anavim. From Rabbi Yochanan's statement, and this is the way the R scroll had it, you see, he says the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peirot. Most fruit, the halacha will follow the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. That depends on whether they were stored for eating or stored for juicing. He says the ain halacha Rabbi Yehuda b'zeitim v'anavim, but halacha is not like him when it comes to olives and grapes. There, the halacha is like the chachamim that even if he stored it for eating, but if it oozes out, so you can't touch it because you may come to squeeze it out. Now, I'm a rabba, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel. Morei Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim Zaitim Vanavim. Shmuel says that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim with Zaitim and Anavim. That's like you know, like the kiss of death, Zaytim and Anavim, bad news. He says, Umodim and Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda Bashar Peirot. And the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda by all the other Peirot. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Yirmiya says, Rabbi Abba, Elbai, please. So what's the machloket? Again, so I have these fruit. The fruits are oozing out juices on Shabbos. So we thought you had a machloket. The Chachamim say it's prohibited. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends on whether it's like a fruit, like an eating fruit or a juicing fruit. But now the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim, according to Shmuel. He agrees with the Chachamim with Zaytim and Anavim. Olives and grapes, he agrees, prohibited. And the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda with Bashar Peirot. So what's the machloket? There doesn't seem to be any machloket. So Amar Lei Lechi Tishkach. He says, when you analyze it, you'll find the answer. So the Gemara, though, does give us an answer. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mistabra Betutim V'Rimonim Pligi. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, logically, we think the machloket is Betutim Rimonim. I think it's mulberries and pomegranates, right? How does he translate it here? Let me look.
That's correct.
Okay. So, yeah. With mulberries and pomegranates. Okay, let's see back. So the Gemara says, "Detanya, we learn in the Braisa, Zaytim shemashach mehem shemen. If olives on Shabbos, oil began to ooze out of the olives. Va'anavim shemashach mehem yayin, and grapes and wine began to ooze out of it. And you see, the Gemara calls it yayin, even though it's like we would say grape juice, but it's called yayin. So he says here, v'hechnisan bein la'ocho bein la'mashkin, and he had brought the fruit in, or he had gathered the fruit, either for eating purposes or juicing purposes. Hayotze mehan asur. And this is going to be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That which comes out, I can't eat it on Shabbos. It's prohibited.
Everyone agrees to this, no?
Again, we had different shitot. The last version, remember, we just said, the last shita we said that everybody agrees by Zaytim and Anavim, and then everybody agrees by Sharpeiro, and we think the machloket is by Tutim and Rimonim. So that, wait 1 minute, Yosef, okay? So he says here, Tutim shemashach mehem mayim, but with the mulberries, that a certain juice, he calls it mayim, doesn't mean water, it's like the juice came out of it, the Rimonim shemashach mehem yayin, and also like the juice from the pomegranate, which he calls wine, v'chnisam le'ochlin, if he brought it in for food purposes, hayotzim in mutar, lamashkin, if he brought it in for mashkin, for juicing purposes, ulastam, or he didn't specify why he brought it in. He says, hayotzim in asur, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the shini Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the Braisa says, v'chachamim omrim, bein la'ochlin, bein lamashkin, with respect to the tutim and the rimonim, the chachamim say, whether I bring it in for food or I bring it in for mashke, Hayotze mehen asur. Anything, what comes out of it is prohibited. So again, so the last version we're saying that it's typically, you know, we've had many Gemaras like this where you see machloket and initially it looks like, you know, A is on one extreme and B is on the other extreme. And then when the Gemara analyzes, they're not really so far away from one another. There is a difference, but the scope is much closed. So the way the Gemara is saying here, by Zaytim and Anavim, everybody agrees it's the kiss of death. By Shar Peirot, everybody agrees, depends on why you gathered it. By Tutim and Rimonim, that's the point of dispute. With the mulberries and the pomegranates, there the Chachamim say we default over that it's prohibited, and Rabbi Yehuda says it depends on why you gathered it. Okay? Now, okay, everybody good so far? Everybody good? All right, I'm moving on. Now, the Gemara says, "V'savar Rabbi Yehuda stam asur." So in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda said that if I didn't specify what the reason was that I had gathered the tutim and the rimonim for, so we're going to default over and make it asur and treat it like I had gathered it for juicing purposes. All right, stam. I didn't specify. So it's Bahatanan. We learn a Mishnah. Now, this is a long Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to propound a question. It brings us into in tomorrow's daf, which I'm going to try to do with you now a little bit. But you have to be patient with this Mishnah till you get to the question. It'll come at the end of the Mishnah, all right? So this Mishnah is in Masechet Machshirin. So Daf Yomi people, I'm sure, remember that there are seven Machshirim. In order for food to be Mekabel Tuma, it has to have one of these seven fluids on it. What's the mnemonic device for it? I know you're bursting at it. Let's hear. You don't remember? No? Michael, let me hear it. All right, Michael's got it first.
Yad Shachetam.
You got it, Michael. Yad Shachatam. Okay, and I think Livia might have had it. You had it, Livia? Okay, so Livia had it as well. Okay, so now, with these seven machshirim, the halacha is that A, I have to want them, either I intentionally put the machshir on the food or I'm happy that it's on the food, but also I'm happy, this is a different halacha but related, I'm happy that the machshir exists. So the Gemara is going to, now one of the machshirim is milk. So the Gemara is going to say that, or we'll see what the Mishnah says. Okay, it says, V'hatanam, we learn the Mishnah, Chalava Isha, Mitami L'Ratzon, Shalol L'Ratzon. So a woman's milk, it means human milk, is Mitame, whether I'm happy that it's expressed or not. In other words, did the woman want it to be expressed or not? So this is an exception to the rule. And we'll learn that the reason is it's related to Dama Geifa. In other words, like her wound, the blood, is also one of the seven Makshirim. And there it doesn't matter whether I want it or not. We'll see in a minute. Chalav Behema, and when it says that it's Mitame, it means it's an effective machshir, is what it means. In other words, it's a machshir, and now the food can be mekabel tumah. Chalav behema, when it comes to animal milk, we'll say for us, cow milk is the way we're mostly familiar with it. Chalav behema, ein metameh el ratzon. Chalav behema is only a machshir if I intended, I was happy that it got expressed. If I didn't want it out, then it's not a machshir. So that's the opinion of the Chachamim. Okay, so human milk is the kiss of death. That's the human milk is the kiss of death. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, Kavachomer Hu. Rabbi Akiva says, I think animal milk should be a machshir whether you intend it or not, based on a Kavachomer. Machalava isha shinam yuchad elektanim mitam l'ratzon shul l'ratzon. Human milk that's generally just consumed by infants. That's the only one who consumes it. And there, across the board, you say it's a machshir. He says, "Chalav behema she miuchad bein l'ktanim bein l'gdolim." The cow milk, I'll say, that if infants have it, adults have it. He says, "Eino din shi'tam bein l'ratzon bein shlo l'ratzon." So, if I'm going to compare milk with milk, once I assume that human milk is a machshir, whether I want it l'ratzon or not l'ratzon, so logically, animal milk should follow the same rule. That's what Rabbi Akiva wants to say. So two lines from the bottom. Amru lo, the Chachamim said back to Rabbi Akiva, im tamei chalava isha shalol ratzon, the two are not comparable, the Chachamim say. There's more reason why chalava isha is in a different category. Is why. He says, shadama gave her tamei. The blood from her wound also is a machshir. Now, a person doesn't want a wound. In other words, but notwithstanding the fact that the blood comes out of my wound, the Chazal teach us that it is one of the machshirim. Yad shachat dam, so the dalet is dam, blood. It means that the blood from a wound is one of the machshirim, and it's called, these are all called mashkim. In the psukim, they're all called a mashka, a beverage. So it says, v'dam chalalim yishteh. So he says here, shadam akim tatameh, yitma chalav ha-behema. Does it make sense to carry that through that the chalav ha-behema, turn page on the kuf mem dalet amud aleph, shelo l'ratzon? Does it make sense that chalav ha-behema, which I'm not happy with, should be a machshir? Shedama gave hato tahor. The dam of the wound of an animal is not a machshir. In other words, the blood, in other words, human blood, if it's a wound, that's one of the machshirim. Animal blood, if it's a wound, is not a machshir. If it's dam shchita, that could be, but otherwise not. All right, so again, so Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim are having this dispute, and we're going to link this in, hopefully, to the fruit soon, if we get to it. So the Chachamim say, Chalav Isha is in a category all by itself. Chalav Behemah in a different category. Chalav Isha is universally is one of the machshirim. Chalav Behemah not. Akiva says, that's ridiculous. If the chalav isha is mitame the ratzon shlo the ratzon, so chalav behema everybody drinks it, so it should also be mitame. So the Chachamim say no, chalav isha is different because the blood of her magefa is different. If the blood of her wound is different, and the blood of her wound is mitame even shlo the ratzon. So we're following woman, you know, human versus animal. He says amar lahen. So the top line on Kufim Dalin Amad Aleph, Amar Lahen, Machmir Ni Bechalav Mi Bedam. Rabbi Kiva, he sticks to his gun. He says, I'm more Machmir by milk than by blood. In other words, I want to de-link milk from blood. He says, Shahachalav l'refua, shacholiv l'refua tamei. If a person milks a cow for refua purposes, so the milk is one of the machshirim, right? That's he says, v'hameki is l'refua tahur. If I therapeutically take blood from an animal, so it's tahur. But it's clearly different dinim. So I don't think blood has got anything to do with milk. So Amru Lo, the Chachamim said back to Rabbi Akiva, Sali Zeitim Anavim Yochichu, that baskets of olives and grapes will prove that our position is correct. And now we're closing in on our, trying to link it back, remember, to Rabbi Yehuda. He says, Shamashkin Ayotzi Mehen L'Ratzon Temein, if Mashkin go out L'Ratzon, so again, Rabbi Akiva wants to say, I think milk across the board should be a machshir. So they're showing him, look, you can't, look, mashkim are different. You have zeitim and anavim, the juices that ooze out of them, and if it's l'ratzon, you're happy with it, so then it's tameim, then they're machshirim, they're machshirim. He says, shlo l'ratzon, tohorim. If it's shlo l'ratzon, they're tohorim. One second. So, yeah, so the way he says it over here, he says in the art school, we see that the legal character of liquids is dependent on whether they emerge to their owner's satisfaction. If they did not, they are not legally deemed beverages. Accordingly, animal milk extracted unintentionally is not regarded as a beverage, thus cannot generate susceptibility to tumor. So basically, I mean, the din of the machshirim isn't the important part, but the Gemara is saying, according to the Chachamim, that animal milk, we should, you know, analogize it to like juices that come out of fruit. And if I'm happy with the juices, it's that there, then it's a machshir. Otherwise, not. And the same thing with the chalav. And same thing with the chalav. Okay, now I'll do a few more lines, and then Bli Neder, if necessary, we'll go over again tomorrow. Okay. So now the Gemara says on line 5 on Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, "My love." Now we said that when it came to zeitim and anavim, the olives and the grapes. The mashkim, the ratzon or tameim, shlo ratzon or tohorim. If I'm happy with them, so it's a machshir. I'm not happy with them, it's not a machshir. So the Gemara says, that's the end of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, my love, l'ratzon, denichale. Is it not when it's the ratzon, he's happy with it. So now it's a machshir. Shlo ratzon, bistama. And we think, and the key is always in the definition, shlo ratzon, I didn't designate it one way or another way. I didn't designate it either way. That's what we think. So if I didn't designate it one way or another way, it's not a machshir. So now he says, Uma zeitim banavim debnei schita ninu. He says, now olives and grapes, those are the most schita type fruit, the most, you know, squeezable fruit that everybody squeezes them. He says, shelo l'ratzon v'lo klum. And nevertheless, shelo l'ratzon, which we think means that I didn't have a specific intent, so so he says it's not a beverage at all, right? Since we assume the owner is dissatisfied with the emergence, right? So he says here, So if I didn't specifically say I'm happy with the juices, so then we treat it like I'm not happy with them. Tutim v'rimonim d'labene schita ninu. So mulberries and pomegranates, which aren't typically squeezed, lo kol shekein. So shouldn't it also not be true that which oozes from them without the owner stating his intent should not be considered a legal beverage? So again, let's go over. He says here, now in the earlier Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda said, if you stored the tutim and the rimonim without stating what they're used for, the juice is prohibited for consumption. We assume the owner will be satisfied with the emergence of the liquid. So I assume when the juice comes out of the mulberries and the pomegranates, so he says, and I don't specify why I'm storing it, so I can't eat it. He says, assume that I'm going to be happy with liquid. Okay, and I may come to squeeze it. Okay, let me just check back again. I want to make sure I got that right with the thing. One second. The tutim and the rimonim.
If the liquid comes out, you can't have it, he says, because you might come and squeeze it.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to say, Tanya. Yeah, right. So he says, stam ayotzim en aser, right. So if I didn't specify I didn't, and so the default is if I didn't specify, I'm prohibited because mistama, I want to squeeze it. In other words, I want it to come out. And here in this sugya, it's coming out where I didn't specify. So then we assume that I don't view it as a liquid, as a beverage, right? Let me just see for a second again. He says, my Lord, son, zeitim anavim are normally squeezed. Shalol ratzon v'lo klum. Right. So with shalol ratzon, I didn't, in other words, if it's shalol ratzon, which he defines as, I didn't even define one way or another way, so it's lo klum. I don't view it as a beverage because I didn't specify as a beverage. So he says, tutimrimonim delabene schitin in lo kloshkein. So it shouldn't be a beverage. So again, so we have the Braisa and we have the Mishnah. From the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion sounded like, when I have the tutim and the rimonim, and if I didn't specify an opinion, we treat it as if I designated it for juicing purposes, and I can't have the beverage with the tutim and the rimonim. Here in this Mishnah, it sounds like if I didn't specify it, I don't treat it as like a juicing fruit. So he says, so the Gemara, let me just do a few lines, then we'll call it a day. So the Gemara says, lo l'ratzon bistama, shelo l'ratzon degalia daite, da amar lo nichali. So the Gemara says, no, that everything depends on what you define. That we define the shelo l'ratzon where you didn't express an opinion. He says, so the Gemara is saying, lo l'ratzon bistama. He says, when the Mishnah says it's the ratzon, it means, so the ratzon is, he doesn't make any specification. So again, lo l'ratzon bistama. When he says, when the Mishnah says the ratzon, it doesn't mean that he says, I want it to be for juicing purposes. He just says nothing. That's the ratzon. And that's in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Shelo l'ratzon degalia daite da'amar lo nichali. And when he shelo l'ratzon, he says not. So that reconciles the both are on the same track. V'ibaydema, or else I could say, shani sali zeitim v'anavim came into the ibud kaimi meikara evkuri mafkir lahu. So, or else I could say, he says here that liquid that oozes from olives and grapes that are placed in basket is different. He says it stands to seep through the holes and be lost. So they're clearly abandoning the juice from the start. And even without an explicit statement of dissatisfaction with the oozing of the juice, we can assume the owners were not particularly satisfied with this. In other words, over there, I could say, in Achinam, I didn't express an opinion, but I'm not happy with it because it's going to loss. Here, with the fruits, the juice will be around. So if I didn't express an opinion, I could be happy with it as a beverage. All right. Any questions on what we did? And this was a little complicated at the end, but I tell you,
I missed the answer. I got the question. I didn't get the answer.
The second answer or the first answer?
Both.
All right. Well, so the question was...
I got the question.
Well, I got to repeat the question.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so the question was, according to the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, when I don't express an opinion regarding the tutim and the rimonim, so then juice...
Can't have
it. Juice oozes out of it, so I have to treat it as if I had designated the fruit for squeezing purposes and the juice is prohibited. And yet, in the Mishnah in Masechet Machshirim, it came out that if I had even olives and grapes, and the way we thought the pshat in the Mishnah was, I didn't designate them, express an opinion that I'm happy with the juice, then I don't view it as a machshir. I don't view it as a machshir. So here we're saying it's a machshir. There I'm saying it's not a machshir. So the Gemara said that. So the Gemara gave two answers. So the Gemara said, first, that may not be what the Mishnah is saying over there. We assume when the Mishnah said l'ratzon, he meant that he affirmatively says he wants it. And shelo l'ratzon, he doesn't designate it. So the Gemara says, no, l'ratzon is, he doesn't designate anything. And l'ratzon means, yeah, he is happy with the beverages. And and it is a machshir. And lo l'ratzon is, he affirmatively says, I don't want it. That's the first answer. Is it okay?
He's changing the definition of ratzon.
Right, right. The second answer is we're leaving the definition the same, but the Gemara says the fact pattern is different. Over there, any juices that ooze out are going to go le'ibud. They're going to be wasted. So if I don't express an opinion, It means that I'm not happy with it being juiced because it's going to the garbage can. Here, with the case of the Rebbe Yehuda, it's in a type of container where it will be saved. So if I don't express an opinion, it could be that I do want it as a beverage because it's going to be saved. All right. Listen, I think it's going to be it for today. Let me end the recording. Let me end recording.